The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Off we go into a new week. Thanks for being with us. Middle part of July. For those of you that have been away and on vacation, we have been as well. The chairman of the board, as always, is the Iron Man, Jared Nielsen. He and I have both gotten away. So if you're like, where's the show been? We have best ofs. We are like you. We have a life. I like to get away. And then there's times where I see something I want to weigh in on. And I bug Jared and said, let's get together. Let's get together. That's how it is in summers. When it's 115 every day, do you think I just sit here and wait for it? Especially when there's nothing really going on that's pertinent and important. And then when there is, you know, then it's time. Speaking of which, we're going to catch up with Todd Graham today. Former Arizona State football coach. Todd Graham is still very popular in these parts. He's polarizing. There's some that really like Coach Graham. There's some that felt, and they still remind me, that he shouldn't have been let go. And I have to tell them that, well, when there's a new athletic director who's not a fan, which Ray wasn't, the athletic director always wins out. But I want Todd Graham's view of the Arizona State Athletic Department now with new leadership and the college football landscape and Kenny Dillingham. Can he succeed at ASU? And much more. So we will do that with Todd Graham. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. It is the All-Star break. The Olympics are coming. And I watched the USA basketball team this morning without Kevin Durant again, and they weren't good. They were lucky to beat Australia. It was very sloppy. I watched Copa yesterday. I watched tennis yesterday morning with Alcazar. I was completely distracted, obviously, over the weekend with the shooting of former President Trump. And I had my laptop open to do a three-dot thoughts, and Saturday afternoon, it just wasn't happening. So I'm going to lead off with that to begin with, because sports is meant to be a distraction. Sports is not meant, in my opinion. If all you do is do sports, then you're not really living your best life. You're like, well, this is a sports guy. What's he talking about? Some people like to brag to me how they watch a football game on a Thursday night, and then Friday night, they'll watch a football game, because now there's football on Friday nights, college games. There's going to be even more. And then Saturday, they're going to watch all day college football. And then Sunday, they're going to watch, starting in Arizona time, 10 a.m. until late October, all the way through. They're going to watch the early game, the late game, then they're going to watch the Sunday night game. And then they're going to watch the Monday night football game. And then some of these people will say, I don't know why, but my spouse is not happy with me. Or I feel like we're strained, or we're kind of out of balance. Is it that hard? There's a place for sports. And then there's a time when things are real in this space that we're in. Sports is meant to be a great distraction. And so Saturday, like sitting here writing on some sports stuff, when we have an absolute tragedy happen in our country, and this isn't a political rant at all, there was a person that was killed shielding their kids, along with the president of our country, former president of our country, along with all the conspiracy theories, all the people. Like, being on Twitter right now is just yelling into a sewer pit. It's just toxic. So I'll leave it at that. And I appreciate hearing from those of you, because I wrote about this, that are on my side of the street. Doesn't mean I'm always right. Just my view that there are some things that are more important than doing this stuff 24/7, 365. So with that said, I'm going to go down the path of the Diamondbacks first, and then I'll rip on USA basketball. So you have to feel good if you're a Diamondback fan today at 49-48. 49-48, and here we are at the break. And as has been well documented, unless you're just one of those that said it's all Corbin Carroll's fault that they're 49-48, because he's only hitting around 210, 215, and two home runs on Saturday night, made some great plays in the outfield, still frustrating to watch. go through all the players that have not been in the starting rotation. You've heard about over and over and over, from Rodriguez to Kelly to Montgomery to Zach Gallen for a bit. And Zach Gallen has batting practice put on him yesterday. And yet here they are, seven games back of the Dodgers, who, by the way, have not looked great themselves. They haven't had Mookie Betts. Their starting rotation's been a mess. I actually think they could be caught. If it weren't for the games that were burped up by Sewald last week, and even yesterday, you know, coming back from a 7-0 deficit to give up a home run to Guerrero that just landed in my backyard here in Gilbert, he crushed that ball. Man, I love watching him play. There's enough losses that you could look at and say, oh my gosh, they could be 3 or 4 back. That's baseball. So I'm very pleased at where they are. Very pleased. I think Torrey Lovello has done as good a job as any manager in the National League this season. You could say, what about Robbie Thompson and the job that the Phillies do? They're the MVP of the league, just so we're clear, outside of Shohei. Okay? And they've had a bunch of injuries, yeah, but I feel like Torrey's kind of gotten over, not kind of, has gotten overlooked here in Arizona, given what's gone on this year. We're just out here in little old Arizona where we show cactus. The games are on late. The East Coast doesn't see it. And that's the way it is. No, if you look closely at it, it's a miracle that they're sitting where they are. They're just a game out of the wild card. But here's the thing. This is the fun part of baseball. They're at 49 wins, 48 losses. They played 97 games. That means they have 65 games left on the season. 65 games, 49 wins. To me, they've got to go about 40 and 25. About 89 to 90 wins is what it's going to take. Maybe a little less than that, but you got to be right around 90 wins to assuredly make the postseason. 40 and 25. You're supposed to get a bunch of these pitchers. You better get Zach Gallen straightened out. But they're right there, and it's going to make for an entertaining second half of the baseball season. They open the second half of the year at Chicago against the Cubs, who aren't good. That will be on Friday. And then they go to Kansas City, a team that's interesting and intriguing. So that's how they get started with the second half of the season. So I'm very pleased with where the baseball team is much must-see for me. Every night I'm watching them. USA basketball is a hard watch right now. USA basketball today is lucky that they were able to beat Australia. Australia went 4 of 17 from three-point country, and the USA won by 6. Devin Booker actually sealed the deal, 7 of 7 from the free throw line. But 4 of 17 from three-point country, and you win by 6. That's luck. Now, fairness, Steve Kerr and his staff didn't have LeBron on the court. Kevin Durant didn't play, calf injury. Jock Longdale looked like it was just like a former son, which he is, Jock Landale is. No Derek White. The Australian team seemed like they worked harder than the USA. The USA was sloppy, sloppy, sloppy. Turnovers all over the place. 18 turnovers by my count. I didn't see a final box. So now they play again against Serbia, and that'll be on Wednesday night. USA or ASU basketball, little note that came out before we hit the air. They'll take on Florida State this coming year. This coming college basketball season. So ASU is supposed to go to Atlanta to play Florida State. I like that game a lot. ASU is going to play Grand Canyon. I think that's a cool matchup. I think that's a cool game. GCU is going to play Georgia this year. That's another cool game. U of A is supposed to play UCLA in the Valley. That's going to be a cool game. College basketball, the college game is where it's at. It is. College game is where it's at. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Todd Graham on the other side, former Sun Devil head coach. That is next. All right. As promised, the coach, Todd Graham. We have not talked with Todd on Zoom since he left Arizona State back in 2017. He went to Hawaii. He went to Texas. He's been in the high school space. He got away from everything. And I want to have Coach Graham on for a bunch of reasons. I think in this day and age of, we've all gone through portal, we've all heard stories about NIL. I wonder how Todd would address that. Todd's a fundraiser, in my opinion. In fact, when Arizona State's AD job came open, I reached out to Todd and said, you should apply for this. Full disclosure, we don't hide anything here. Yeah. In this new SEC, is Texas going to come in and dominate? Is USC going to go into the Big Ten? So I wanted to get with Todd on a whole bunch of things. And with that long-winded setup, it's good to see you. How are you? Where are you?
Yeah, it's good to see you. Yeah, I'm living in Dallas. I got a little ranch property north of Dallas in a place called Salina, Texas, and been living there. And obviously that's where I'm from. My family's from, and spend a lot of time back here. Got good friends, obviously, here in the Valley, and spend a lot of time here as well. And then got a lot of coaches around the country. Coach Norvell at Florida State and Dan at Oregon, and I got good friends at TCU, and obviously Ryan at Memphis, and Major Applewhite. I got a bunch of a lot of like 17 different coaches around the country that I've worked with. I guess when you get old, you turn into an advisor. So I'm kind of an advisor for those guys.
What do you make out of today's college football, Todd? Could you still coach in it?
Oh, absolutely. It's still about relationship. It's still about teaching and coaching, and coaching matters. You got to be adaptive. I think the NIL piece and the obviously I spent a lot of time with my former assistants that are now head coaches, talking to them about roster management and transfer portal, and the NIL piece is it's kind of it's like the Wild Wild West, but it's just like anything. I mean, the game's constantly changing, constantly evolving, but it still boils down to relationship. It still boils down to who can put together a team. It boils down to personnel. And I think the coaches that are the most talented at adapting, the guys that are the most relational, are the ones that are going to be the most successful. And so we get frustrated with it. I remember, back, in the Pac-12, our coaches were complaining back in 2012 about how they had to do all these TV interviews before the game and all this. And I said, well, guys, we can go back to making what we're making, 5 or 10 years ago, or we can, I'm all about, doing the interviews and growing college football and doing what we're doing. So I love it. I miss the competition part of it. I'm chomping at the bit to be back doing it. I'd do it again in a heartbeat. I just got to, I'm a little bit more selective than I used to be.
Sure. What about administration? I've always said, when people say, what do you think of Coach Graham? I said, Coach Graham was the greatest fundraiser Arizona State ever had. In fact, he probably did too much fundraising and not enough football. He had too many things to do when he was at ASU. I don't think that's not a criticism, but I think that's fair to say.
I think I was committed, this was a destination job for me, and one that I was committed to doing what it took to make it successful. And at that time, having a new facility, raising money, developing affinity, building relationships with donors and boosters was really, really important. Now, we did a great job in 12 and 13 and 14 coaching, and we had a great staff in place, but, we didn't have the resources to keep that staff in place. And so, Arizona State at the time was not an ask and receive place. It was a place that you had to go and you had to be resourceful and figure out a way to make it happen. And that was going to involve, raising money. If I had it to do over again, losing coaches and having to do the fundraising was very difficult. We had 1-5-7 season, but I think 15, we should have won 3 more games. I think in 16, it really took its toll in that year. But those 2 years, I think, had a lot to do with being distracted and having to do those things. But at the end of the day, I don't apologize for it. Some of my greatest friends I have are some of the top donors here and the fan base here. I love this place. I love ASU. And so I love the time that I spent here. I was very blessed to get to be here and get to do it. But I think you're going to have to do those things. I mean, I think right now as a head football coach, as the guys I'm consulting with around the country that are in that position, you know, there, you have to be a CEO, and you have to be a person that can activate people and supporters because of the NIL piece. You have to be in the ballpark is for having funds to do that. And who knows where that's going? Mm-hmm. You know, with the House, you know, the House bill and all the things that are the settlements that are coming down, you know, that's going to constantly be changing, and you're going to be, and it's still the haves and the have nots. And so you better, you know, be able to generate revenue and know how to do that. And, you know, you got to have a passion. You got to have the relationships. And so I still think that's an important component. And I think it's even more important, the fundraising piece now because of NIL.
The last few years at Arizona State, the investigation by the NCAA, the Herm Edwards era, Ray Anderson no longer here, the cleaning of house, new AD now, Graham Rossini, Kenny Dillingham. What do you make out of Arizona State now that they've gone through all this?
Well, obviously, it's been tough to watch. You know, it's been tough to see it because I loved the place and was committed. And I really thought that we were, you know, we'd been to 5 out of 6 bowl games. And, you know, I felt like that we were building something. Obviously, we didn't accomplish what we wanted to accomplish. We weren't there yet. But you have to, you know, it takes time to do that. And then now it, you know, it seems like we're back at square one. Back, you know, Kenny is really facing and maybe even a more difficult circumstance than I had. You know, I took over from Coach Erickson, and it was definitely, you know, not in a good shape. I can remember being at the bowl game in Las Vegas and going, wow, I mean, we got a lot of work to do. You know, this is really difficult. It's tough. It's been tough to see that because a place that I love so much. But it takes commitment. You got to have commitment in vertical alignment from the very top all the way down. Hopefully they have that. I like Graham. I've had an opportunity to meet him. He was here my last year. Sure. Was, I think, his first year. I think he's I like everything I see from him. He's relational. We need somebody that can be out there activating people, activating the fan base, and that has a plan. You know, and understands it. I think, you know, this is not the NFL. It's college football. This is not, you know, you have to have a unique plan for Arizona State. And a lot of people don't understand, you know, everybody talks about a sleeping giant and what the problems are and all that, but you have to have investment. You know, if you and I are running a business and we're going to be a Fortune 500 company, we're going to compete with the best companies in the country, then we're going to have investment. We're going to have a plan, and we're going to have a way of executing that. And so that's just not, I think that we were well on our way to doing that. I think, you know, they got to stop the cycle of every 5 years, new AD, new coach. It costs so much money. And then, you know, with how college football's changed, I think it's put him in a tough situation. Kenny's got a very, very tough job, but he's doing it the right way. He's building relationships. He's out there. He knows he's got to, you know, win the Valley. He knows he's got to recruit here. He's got to be able to keep the best and the brightest here at home. I think he's trying to do a lot of things that we were trying to do. Mm-hmm. It's just being able to give him the time and giving the resources to do that is going to be the big deal. So he and Graham have a tough job ahead of them, but that doesn't mean it can't be done. I think I feel really good about Graham, and I know Kenny knows, coming from our program and how we did things. I know that he loves this place, wants to be here. And this was it. I wasn't trying to go to the next job. And I think he wants to be here, but you know, at the end of the day, you got to win, and that's part of it. And that's going to be the biggest challenge, is winning and being successful. But, you know, having an equal playing field where you have an opportunity to do that with NIL money and being able to keep a staff in place and those type of things are really, really a challenge.
Let's go back on a couple of things. So Mike Norvell is one of those that left. Mike is thriving. Went to Memphis, went over to Florida State. He's on your coaching tree. Todd, as we're sitting here right now, one of the issues in college football is the future of the ACC. What happened to Florida State last year? They end up going to a bowl game and give up 60 points because it just fell apart for them.
Yeah.
I'm curious your view of where things are. Let's take a national view because you are dialed in here. Let's start first with the future. Arizona State, Arizona, Utah, Colorado, they're all going into the Big 12. What's going on over at the ACC and where Mike is? Start first with the Big 12. We'll get over to Mike in a second. What do you see going on with these new conferences and the ability to win?
Yeah, I think it's a an important pivotal time for the Big 12 and the ACC. A lot of people were shocked to see the Big 12 go the Pac-12 go away, and I wasn't, because where things are trending towards is in my opinion is towards two super conferences, the Big Ten in the North and the SEC in the South. And so the Big 12 and the ACC are the two conferences that really have to perform. They really have to show. And then, you know, obviously in the ACC is going to, you know, if Florida State, Miami, Clemson, if they have some defections there, then you're going to see, you know, a lot more shifting. And I think the Big 12's in a similar situation. I do think there's more stability right now in the Big 12 than really the ACC, because you've got Florida State and Clemson, you know, and Miami that are really looking, I think, to make a move. And so it's going to be, I'm excited about the Big 12. I think it's a great opportunity, especially for where Arizona State is right now, because you've got, you know, Utah, you've got Oklahoma State, Kansas State, you know, West Virginia is supposed to have a pretty good team, but there's really not a dominant power or a superpower in that league. So it should be exciting. What you need to have happen as a league is have some guys go run the table and not beat each other. Cause that's what kind of happened in the Pac-12, is as the Pac-12, I thought from 2013 started to descend, is from a talent standpoint, and the league wasn't as good. The league was really, really strong in 2013. And by the time, you know, 2017, 18, 19 rolled around, the Pac-12 was not as strong as it had been. And there, no one's running the table. No one's getting in the playoff. The playoff's going to help because you got, you know, more opportunity. I think that's going to be an exciting time. You know, college football's strong. I'm not saying anything's going away, but I do think that eventually you're going to have the top 50 or 60 teams, and then you're going to have the rest of them. And you don't want to be left out. You know, you see what happened to Washington State, and you see what happened to Oregon State. And, you know, man, that's, you know, look at where they're at right now and what their future is very, you know, that's a scary, that you don't want to be in that position. So I think the Big 12 is one that this year is going to be big. And they had, you know, they need to have some success. They need to have some teams really, you know, make a, you know, get a couple teams in the playoff and do some damage in the playoff is going to be critical. So I think it's a great league. I don't know if they're going to stay with the four conferences or it's going to end up being two. I kind of felt like from the way the meetings that I was a part of and just being around it for the last 10 years, this has been moving forward and happening for probably about the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I've heard the word super conference. So I think that, you know, this year is going to be interesting. I think that the Big 12 and the ACC are the two bottom conferences. You have the Big Ten and the SEC that are really, really strong. And depending on what happens with defections, is going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Texas and Oklahoma going into the SEC. I heard Nick Saban say earlier, you know, Texas isn't just going to come in here and be Texas. Some people from Texas think they're going to walk right in, waltz right in. What do you think happens with Texas and Oklahoma this year in the SEC, Todd?
I think that's going to be really interesting. You know, obviously, you know, that tells you a lot, in my opinion. Those two schools leaving to go to the SEC, if you thought the Big 12 was stable, to me, why would they not sit right there and have their gravy train where they're every year, you know, competing for the conference championship? Obviously, I think Texas, you know, and Oklahoma are I think they'll do well, but it's going to be a whole lot different deal than the Big 12. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, I think Texas is stronger personnel wise and kind of where they're at. And we'll kind of see what happens. You know, they haven't won that big game or gotten into that playoff or done that yet. I do think they're very talented. I do think they're in a very good position, maybe a little bit better position than Oklahoma. But I think Oklahoma, you never count Oklahoma out. I think they've had consistency there. They got a great athletic director, great leadership there. I think they got a good coaching staff, and I think they've kind of figured it out. The difference is going to be the matchups and the dynamic of it, and week in and week out playing at that level, how well are they going to be able to sustain that? So you could see one of those teams very well be 500, and you could see one of them very well run the table. So we'll see what happens.
How about Oregon going over? And I could throw Washington, USC, and UCLA, but everybody's pointing towards Oregon as a team that's going to be in the CFP, going to be playing in the semis or finals this year. You've got ties up there. How's Oregon fit in the Big Ten?
Well, I've gotten to spend some time, and obviously I know Mike Norvell at Florida State, and I think Mike and them are positioned very, very well. Their program is very, very strong. They've built some depth there. But man, I went and spent some time with Dan up at Oregon, and I like Oregon. I think Oregon is in a great position. That Ohio State game is going to be a huge, huge game for them. But they've got a schedule that I think they can do really, really well with. Not that it's an easy schedule. There's not. You're still, but I'd rather Ohio State come to Oregon than go to Michigan instead of vice versa. So, but I think Dan and them personnel wise, they got a great staff in place. Dan's got a he. They look good. I like that. They're one of the teams that I really like. I think going into a new conference, I think Oregon and Texas are two teams that I really think have got a chance to really, really do well.
I'll let you go off that. Anything else you want to add? Anything
No,
else
I'm good.
you're just running around with? I mean, life's good for you. You're in a front office at a high school, or what
No,
is
no, no.
it?
I basically was an advisor. My church is Prestonwood Baptist Church. My great friend, Pastor Jack Graham, his school, PCA. I basically was an advisor for their athletic program, and helping them raise some money and doing some development stuff is what I've been doing this last year. But I've kind of moved away from that and really wanting to get back into the college space, and going to spend this fall doing some consulting, doing some advising. That's what old coaches do. And no, I'm ready to get back in. I want to get back to coaching football and doing what I love to do and do what I'm born to do. So that I've got a lot left in me. If you know me, I'm 59 years old, and them 30-year-olds ain't got nothing on me. I can hang. I still got the same energy level and the passion, and it's exciting. It's such an exciting time. I really don't want to miss out on I think the next 4 or 5 years in college football. I think college football is strong, but I do think there's more change ahead.
Do some of this because you're good at it. That's what I'd say. I'd say let's just do more of
Well, I
this.
like it. And I sure love being in the Valley. I love it here. Obviously, this was a special, special place for me. And I'm every Saturday from the time I left here, we've cheered for Arizona State every single week, and we'll continue to do that. Love it. And I think Kenny's doing the right things, and I'm excited for Graham. And I'm hoping that the Valley will get behind him and support him, and give him the time and the support it takes to be successful, because it's I don't think it's going to be something's going to be real easy or happen overnight.
Appreciate your time as always, Todd. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
It's Todd Graham, and we're back with more after this timeout.